Welcome to Star Wars Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I've been SLB Online, Bedcom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have talk guests every Thursday starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the Starfleet Universe Online Discord server. You can listen or talk to me. Just join the SFU On Call stream channel. And also, if you want to, the other option is to jump on twitch.tv. Yes, twitch.tv/SFU on call to join us in the chat there or watch the live stream on Twitch. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on the Twitters, my account there is sfuoncall. Also have a personal account called Paul Franz, P-A-U-L-F-R-A-N-Z. There's no T in that. And of course, also my business account, which is Franz Games, F-R-A-N-Z-G-M-E-S. And again, no T in that. And of course, there's also Blue Sky. Blue Sky have a podcast account, sfuoncall.bsky.social. And of course, also my personal slash business account is franzgames.com. And of course, the lovely TalkCast gets into a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around. Then that quick news from A to B. Well, actually, there isn't any news. Everything has been relatively quiet. I'm assuming that's good. Haven't heard anything about Steve Patrick. I'm assuming everything is progressing slowly, but it's probably progressing. Haven't seen anything posted on the discussion board. Seen nothing posted on the Facebook page. So it's all quiet. And of course, this week, I found on the online store is the F&E Modern Empires charts. It's only $2, so you can have an extra copy of those charts for just $2. That's the Reserve and Depot charts for the LDR, the Vudar, and the Seltorians from the Minor Empires on module. Moving on to SB Online tournaments, which had the Sapphire Star 19 tournament, still the signs. I'm still open, waiting for people to sign up. After we get the full 16, then off we go. We're off and running. Obviously, the 500 BBP tournament is over. I announced that last week. Just a reminder that it is over. And hopefully, Jeff Clark will come up with either have that version, or there's other two other versions which he has also pushed forward, and he's asked for discussion, comments about the other ideas. So you know, if you want to get into that discussion, go on to the SFB discussion board. You know, go on to StarfleetGames.com. Go to the discuss link. Now, remember, this is non-HTTPS, so Chrome, you have to tweak things a little bit so you can do HTTP, and Safari, I've had issues with it, so that if you go to the website, it switches to HTTPS, but then you have to, if you just go and switch it manually, go to the address bar and switch it manually in Safari, it fixes everything, and it's all good. So if it comes up blank, that's the problem, so it's not that it's not there. It's there. It's just that it doesn't support HTTPS, which all modern browsers are now forcing the issue. And moving on to the library report, no updates on SFB or the Federation Commander Library for this week. So with that is the news for this week. And that's me, yes, the one all Paul Franz, welcoming you to Star from the Universe On Call. And tonight we have Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
And we have, of course, moi. And we come that be all it. And double check one thing, because I don't mind me, I don't see myself over here, which could be just something simple. Brought up the stream. Oh, there it is. Okay. There it goes. I brought the stream manager a little bit earlier and it came up with an empty screen. So now I see myself. Maybe I just didn't wait long enough for the stream to kick in and so forth. Anyhow, doesn't matter. So tonight I figured we start off with something which we discussed with Gary over a month ago now, I think. And it was a suggestion, and I just want to give it a quick update on that. That is the splitting of the videos from having it as a single video, which was put together, to having them separate. Now, showing basically my number of views for the different videos on the screen. So for those of you just on the podcast, you know, listening to it, you won't see this, but you know, and just realize I'm very, very small in the YouTube realm. Let's put it very easy. Last week's video, the episode, had 7 views. Is that surprising? No, it's not. Now, the news portion had 9 views. And the news portion for last week, the week before last week, had 7 views, while the actual episode only had 2 views. Now, I'm not sure why I only had 2. 2 actually is kind of low. 5 is more normal, because that's what happened. Actually, the week before that, I had 7 views. When it was called How to Run Into Drones, that was the episode title where I basically died. And the thing is, I'm surprised about that. I didn't get more views. Because of that one was more video appealing. Because if I've called correctly, that one actually had me showing the video. It was sped up by 4 times, but I actually was showing the video on that one. Now, okay, the big one was, we're going back in time, because as you go back in time, you get more views. Like, another turn of two, which is what was my game, has now this is from March 13th of this year, and I had 32 views. Now it's also that's from March 13th, so it's had lots of time to get there. Versus, How Not to Win, that was from June 27th. Today is August 21st. Just to let you know, to have comparison, and that one had 19 views. And then got 25 views for my game update, which was on July 18th. So, and actually, if I bring up the analytics for this thing real quick, as you can see here, the top, here's my typical performance, which goes sneak, and when it comes to the number, this is the number of days, number of views. So what happens is, within the first 10 days, that's when I max out. After 2 weeks, I usually max out. And this one went well. And then for the first 28 days, I had 24 views for this one video. And then, got another view, which is rare. Notice the watch time in hours is 5.8 hours. So overall, and this is for what? This is, again, days. And if you look at here, which is, what is it? This is this video, which is the time-based. 24, keep it going down until the 8% at the very end, actually reached the end. Starts high, big surprise, 88%. Actually, start watching it, which is weird. So, and it goes down, 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 as the video proceeds. So, and average percentage, it's only 14%. Only 14% of the actual video was watched on average. So, now, yeah, average view duration is 14 minutes of an hour and 38 minute broadcast. Now, this one, again, it's one of my more popular ones, which is 25 views. And let's just look at last week's just for giggles. And let's look at watch time. Not enough information to display for audience retention data. So it can't give me the numbers of how many percentage, how much people actually watched, which is, you know, because we go over here, audience, okay, unique viewers, okay. This shows I got two viewers within like the first 2 days, and then none, and then I got another viewer within the first 3 days. You know, it's very slow on the uptake, and most of them on, wow, okay, got 56% watch on a mobile phone, 33% on the TV. Interesting, and only 10% on the computer. So interesting, very interesting. That's very interesting. Okay, where was how not to run it to draw how the this one? I want to look at the analytics for this one because I think audience, yeah, that, and then it dies and get another blip there for another one. But I want to look at this one which had the video, heavy video content when it comes to the actual game itself, because the game itself was actually in the video. 95% was on the TV and only 5% on the computer, with less than even only 0.5% on the mobile phone. My guess is the ones that are heavily on the mobile phone, basically they're not watching, they're listening, because that's one way of other people do it when it comes to videos. They'll have either, you know, they'll have a video on, this is background noise, you know, and that in my mind, ones that are heavily, you know, don't have on mobile app, mobile phones, in my mind, would be more likely to be listened to on the phone if there wasn't heavy actual video viewable content. Let's see if there's anything else here, which was okay. I want to look at those. Accessibility in the client, that actually got has 19 views, which is pretty good. Now, obviously, if you look at the comments are pretty low. Big surprise. What happened here? Got two comments. I know I had one before. Comments. No comments found. That's weird. It said there was two comments. Is that just two responses? Oh, there's two likes, and this is one. It says that, yeah, that's weird. No. Don't know. That is weird. Because I'm pretty sure this one had one previously, which basically, if I recall correctly, the comment for this one earlier which was basically that they enjoyed having the shorter form video for the news portion. They like to watch that. And if you look overall, the news portion, yeah, it seems to be overall more popular than the full video overall. Here's one where it's basically the news portion is less than popular than the actual video itself. And of course, this is where we actually started, was here, which I'm surprised. Actually, this one I'm surprised about. I'm surprised someone has actually 7 views, because when I first put it out there, because if you notice, these were all published on the same day. We have 4 videos, which were all published on the same day, and they're all having around the same views. Though the second news actually has only 5 views, the first one has 7, which is weird, because when I first initially, in the first 2 weeks, first week or two, I'm pretty sure I remembered that. Let me just look at this. I can look at this real quick, which is, I can look at the analytics for this. Okay. Yeah. Had 2 views within the first 2 days. Oh, okay. Actually got 6 within the first 4 days. Oh, okay. Maybe it was just looking at it. Versus, okay, and what was this, the one, where's August 1st, this is the one I wanted to see. On this one, we had, 5 within the same balance period of time, so. I could have sworn it was at the first, SVU on call news video, actually only had 2 views, and the other one had 5. I misremembered it. And that was, I was seeing it as a reflection of my own thoughts, because they made sense to me. Well, obviously that's not correct. But so overall, it when it comes to number of views, they seem to be, news portions seem to be a little higher than... When you have 9 versus 7, that's a little higher. Obviously the problem for me is that I don't have enough views to actually have good numbers, good solid ideas about it. I forget dashboard. Let me look at dashboard. There it is. I have a big whopping 62 subscribers. Thank you, one and all, who actually subscribe to. Oh, that's weird. That's
what's that?
This comment here that I use. Can I bring this up? And that I use Apple Podcast, it has been dropping you lately. Actually, that's one thing also I wanted to bring up. Whatever. Patience. This is actually, okay, 2 things. One, that's one thing I did find out. For those of you, when it comes to TalkShoe, the podcast feed from TalkShoe has been much better. After I fixed it, the end of last month, so that's been 21 days ago, it has been solid. I got someone who knew what they were doing. So I said, I'm missing all these episodes. But boom, I mean, like that, it was done. The previous person I talked to, they had no clue what I was talking about. So, not as knowledgeable. But this person fixed it now. I actually uploaded to TalkShoe, and it's consistently there. As soon as I upload the podcast, it's there. Because I'm actually, at this point, I'm subscribed to my own podcast on my phone. So, and it is consistently every single week when after I post upload it, it's there within the next day. Usually a few hours. The way they have it is a little weird in that they make it available like the next day, but the actual posting hour is the hour I posted it. So it's all of a sudden it will show up. And if you have the way I have mine set up, it's sorted by newest at the top down to the oldest at the bottom. All of a sudden, my podcast will show up in the middle of all my podcasts. You know, so that one's a little quirky. I don't care. Because now, consistently, it will be uploaded. It will be available for people on a consistent basis on Apple, in iTunes, in the Apple Podcasts app now. So it's good. The only other comment I was going to have is I noticed Patient Zero, you know, they definitely don't like Steve Cole and obviously don't like Omega. To me, the weird part, Patient Zero, I'm wondering if something happened with their account. Either they got locked out, lost it or something like that, because originally it was Patient Zero without this part on it and dash XC9ZL. Now they have that, so it's just interesting. Okay. That's good. So it seems like when it comes to uploading the episodes, that seems to work well with TalkShoe when it comes to updating the feed. It's possible that they have an issue when it comes to the feed itself and don't know quite what to do when you record something, because I think that this might go back when it comes to TalkShoe. It might go back to when they first, the new owners took over TalkShoe, and then we did the whole website, which they did a good job. Only annoyance, as I mentioned many, many years ago, was that it was Chrome-based. It would not work with Safari. I'm not sure I tried Firefox, but definitely it seemed to, that, and I even mentioned that to them and said use Chrome. So I was like, yeah, it's one of those things that it greatly annoys me when one browser, in this case Chrome, becomes the standard. And because of what happens, you might have a sort of problem that we had in the past with Internet Explorer. Internet Explorer, for a while there, it was the standard. Now, to be honest, when it comes to Internet Explorer, the one thing that always I thought was kind of interesting about Internet Explorer was that it did its best to actually show a web page, even if the actual web page itself was terribly broken, you know, mismatching of tags and all this kind of thing, things that these days you can't get away with at all, and Chrome definitely would not let you get away with it. You had to have the spec. Now, the problem is the issue I have with Chrome and what's happened with Chrome as being kind of a de facto standard is that even though we do have a standard society, a standard organization for when it comes to what's HTML5, what's the web and so forth, In theory, Google can do things that's not even close, not even close to that, that is not supported by other browsers, and most of the websites will work perfect. I mean, and the website will work perfect on Chrome, but if someone tries to use Firefox or for Safari, which is actually Safari, the gotcha, it really, really bugs me. Chrome was based off of WebKit, which was then also WebKit is currently is being supported by Apple as an open source project. And also that's what Safari is based off is WebKit. But so obviously Chrome is a fork of WebKit, and they've tweaked it since that when it comes to Chromium and Chrome. So that's one of those kind of interesting things about that. So, obviously, although I don't have a large following when it comes to YouTube, but if anyone wants to continue to follow me, please do. And those of you who are on the podcast, you can go to youtube.com/@SFU on call, and you'll find me. See, go like this, go at SFU on call, and voila, you'll find Starfleet Leaders on call. That was the one thing that I greatly, greatly, greatly appreciated. When it comes to YouTube, I don't see, if you notice, I don't have the subscribers. I might have the length of time, but I don't have the subscribers. So I cannot get a custom feed, a custom URL. But you can do this. I can do the at and then a custom name. And you're allowed to do that. And I'm allowed to do that. I think almost everybody is allowed to do that. So I really appreciate when they did that. So then someone can easily find SFU on call, even though my numbers are really small. I have no way, shape, or form of actually monetizing my content. And to be honest, I don't care. I don't care
Oh,
if if
I don't know.
YouTube wants to
It's all good.
throw me a few pennies, feel free. I'm
All
not gonna
pennies,
say no.
all donations accepted.
All donations accepted. Amen. I don't. I currently. I many 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 years ago, I was asked, why don't you have like a Patreon, page? And that's because, I think I mentioned it before, which is the only issue I have with Patreon is that the question I have. If I set up a Patreon page and actually have people supporting me, which, okay, that's possible. I'm not sure what the expectation is for that. Now, obviously, the one thing I think the ex no, no cat. Starting showing my hand. One expectation I would think with Patreon is obviously communication. That's the one thing that there would be expectation. I'm not sure what other things would be an expectation for people actually pay.
Content.
What kind of content?
Content. Yeah, the main thing with Patreon is that people expect regular content of some kind. And that's so, like, for instance, if you're an artist and you're doing the Patreon thing, you're going to be posting new stuff that everybody can come in and like download. So if you're doing a podcast and you're doing Patreon, they're going to expect new content on a reasonably regular basis. So like your once a week podcast would basically satisfy the sort of thing that you might have on that sort of thing. You can ban that jackass if you want. Mindful Cougar, really?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Cheap followers on streamboo.com. Remove the space. Boink, gone. Yay, and the crowd went mild.
Yep.
So, at any rate, Yeah, that's basically it. I mean, you don't have to dance for them or anything like that. You know,
they'd be very disappointed.
Probably
if they
not be.
There
will be no expectation of such things for your podcast. Thank you. But yeah, no, that's generally it. Patreon's usually a just there's an expectation that it's transactional.
Right. Oh, agreed.
Now, the other side of that is you can also do different levels of subscribers. Like, for instance, if you were doing some your podcast as your first level of subscription, and then additional special content like transcripts of the podcast or access to like say that's the client, you know, to play on the client for X amount of time as part of that. You could make a subscription service through that. There's all sorts of different ways you could work it. But basically, generally speaking, it's like, you know, the Patreon thing can be flexible in what people can get. They can have different subscription levels, different expectations, different amounts that they can give, and all that happy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Okay. Thank you for the quick review of Patreon. Not sure. To be honest, I'm not sure it would be worth it, the extra effort.
Well, some other things are like in YouTube, they have a subscription thing where you can actually make people pay to subscribe for your channel.
Well, or
be different levels of subscribers.
Right. You can.
And like, if you're doing a live stream, then you can control whether those people can comment or not in the comment section, among other things. So.
Yeah. Well,
those are just some things. And that's, if you have like hundreds or thousands of people coming in to comment, that might be a good thing, because then it'll filter out people that aren't willing to spend a few bucks to say what they have to say. No. But there's that.
Yep.
Okay. Of course, it would probably filter me out, but there you go.
Yeah. I'm not sure people heard that. Probably people did hear that, which was like, I started up a YouTube video. Because I know what you're talking about, and actually you can actually subscribe, and also there's a join button too, where you actually, mm-hmm. you can basically like Patreon, where you can join,
become a member of my channel.
Right. Exactly. I know exactly what you're talking about. But anyway, and one other minor thing I wanted to mention, I'm not sure anybody noticed from last week, which was this thing, my chair, it's different.
It's less destroyed.
Yeah.
Less broken.
Yeah.
There's less fear in your veins
chair I
at
had,
the moment.
I was on it too much, because if you look at the bottom, what happened is that the metal plate that holds the base of the chair where you sit on it actually had a big crack in it, so I'm assuming it was from a kneeling where it got bent a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there. You kept over the many years that I've had that chair, and finally it gave up, and my chair was like 90 degrees, and then all of a sudden it was down like 45 degrees in the downward direction. So when that happened, I didn't fall on the floor. Of course I got up in time, but it was broken at that point. And this chair actually is my wife's old office chair. She didn't like it, so she gave it to me to replace my gaming chair as my primary chair for my office. And we actually got her a rocking chair. This is Unfortunately, she didn't actually have an office. She actually used it for talking to her clients on Zoom. So instead of having this chair, she has a rocking chair, and she likes it. You know, it's one of those gliding rocking chairs.
Aw.
Yeah, it's really nice. And actually, we were fortunate that she found it on Facebook. The person was selling for $50. And the funny part is that where the guy is located, I was mildly upset, minorly, because of I was just in the guy's location. I was like 5 to 10 minutes away from his house that morning when I first contacted him, said, "Hey, when can I pick it up?" So, which actually. Oh, I think about it now. It's probably best they waited till later because of he wanted cash, and I didn't have the cash on me at that moment in time, so it worked out better that I had to go drive with cash in hand, go to his house, and pick it up, which was fine. You know, actually, the interesting part is that this person also is into Jeeps. And I have a Jeep Gladiator. So originally he just said, put the money in the canister and just pick it up and leave. And I went, okay, fine. Actually, when I got there, his son said, "Hey, how can I help you, sir?" And I said, "Well, I'm here to pick up the rocking chair." He said, "Oh, well, I'll go get my father," because his father was selling it. And he came out, and it's like, "Oh, I saw that you had a gladiator. I had to come out and see it." Because the gladiator is a Jeep. So it's like, cool. And I actually looked at, he has his Jeep in the garage there, and he has the top, I mean, completely down. And the doors are off hanging in the garage, so he's a Jeep keeper. I've yet to actually pull off the doors off my Jeep yet. And that's one thing. Actually, I talked to my wife and she said she would not like to drive around in the Jeep with no doors. I guess, and the
Weirdly
funny,
enough,
yeah,
I was thinking about like transportation stuff and seriously considering that they still make Jeep kits. Like, there's a company in the Philippines, I think, that like makes the old World War II style Jeeps and they
wow.
ship them to you in like a box and you just have to put it the rest of the way back together. I
Wow.
just remember seeing that on TV once, like a while back. And I was thinking, I wonder if that would be cheaper than buying something brand new. And I wonder if it would still be street legal. But yeah, so.
Don't know.
Cause she wouldn't like driving in one, like with no doors. It's like, okay, how about riding in one with no doors, a very hard pad for a seat. And no seat belts. And
That
it's a
now that
stick.
would see that's the problem. Without seatbelts, that definitely would not be street legal. So, but yeah,
Yeah. Oh, they probably have them, but I
right.
just remember that from like the old army days when I first went in back in the early 80s. Because we used like Jeeps that were literally, I don't think they were World War II era, but they may have been like Vietnam era in our unit, and then we transitioned from those to the not to the Humvees that we have today, but to the Cuckvees, which are like basically it's your the precursor to your typical SUV that everybody likes driving now. We got them commercially in the army, like, well, not commercially in the army, but
Right.
deployed in army use first.
Right.
So still remember having to get out and like change the wheel locks to go to 4x4 on those.
Wow.
Okay, that's my old man rant for the day.
That's fine.
Thank you for that memory.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, I keep passing by the dealership where, you know, I got the Jeep Gladiator and I traded in my old Jeep Wrangler. And my old Jeep Wrangler is still sitting there.
Yeah.
Had like,
Aw.
yeah, I know that I feel sorry for it. Actually, funny part is I drove past today. They
What did
moved it.
how much did they list it for?
They don't have it. Actually, I stopped by, and on the sticker on the Jeep, they don't have a number.
Ah, okay.
Now, I'm not sure how much they're going to be selling it for, because I got 16,000 was for the trade-in value. So my guess is they're going to ask for more than 16,000.
Oh, definitely.
But, hey, the one thing about that Jeep is that I know it's in good running condition. It's just because it's got all its shots. And not really shots. It's got all of the
Maintenance.
maintenance and not the maintenance, but all of the factory recalls have been done. And one of those factory recalls on that Jeep was they had to replace the clutch. So that clutch is very, very new. So it's not like it's the original clutch that I got when I got the Jeep. They've replaced it 2 years ago, 1 or 2 years, I think it's 2 years ago, that they had to replace the clutch. So the clutch is only 2 years old.
Nice.
And everything else works just perfectly fine on it. I what I like to know is if they fixed. There was two things that were minor things wrong with the Jeep, and these are cosmetic. That's all they are. And that is out of habit. The Jeep are very interesting in that they, when it comes to the door, the windows, they have it in the center console, and you can push it, you push it in to have them go down, and then you pull it out to have it go up. Well, on the Jeep Wrangler, I kept on doing it right on the edge. So I wore down all the rubber that was on the switch. So it no longer had the rubber part right on the end of it where it was coming off a little bit. So I had to make sure I went underneath and pulled it. That's one of the minor cosmetic things. The other one is the door. I rubbed against the side of the door long enough. So that actually there's a little part that was worn when it comes to that. But other than that, great condition, So
Nice.
anybody wants to has a and well, of course there's also a manual, so and that's a rare thing. So anybody who wants looking for a good Jeep in Pennsylvania in the based in the Reading area, by all means. It's a good Jeep. I can vouch for it. It's still sitting at the parking lot. I went past this morning and I thought it had been sold. Nope, they just moved it. It's like, oh, poor car. I feel sorry for it because I traded in and now it has nobody to love it. So anyhow, to move one forward to the next one, which is I wanted to talk about real quickly, well, maybe real quickly, you never know. Obviously, one thing that we mentioned last week, which is the 500 BPV tournament and the whole idea of having another one. Because I think overall, I know it was a small tournament, right? And don't mind me, I gotta move my foot. My knee is hurting a little bit. But anyway.
Small by numbers of people.
Yeah, by the number of people, which is fine. Eight people is fine. You don't want it to be too large because it takes a long time to play these games, as it wasn't obvious by the last game, the final took 18 hours. So, I said that's fine. Now, the question is for the next tournament. I know a lot of people do have interest in it to do it again. I do. Now, Jeff previously Let me look when I create these threads. I created a couple of threads back in May about two different fleet battle tournaments. One is what's called the expansive fleet battle tournament. The other one is the compact fleet battle tournament. Now, the expansive, and this is a really quick from Jeff, which is, you know, the 5-hour BPV tournament. And this is a fork. He calls this a fork. He must be a developer, because that's what you do when you create a separate version, which is based off the original, and so forth. That's kind of a software term. But anyway, that's why I thought he's possibly a developer. This rules for the expansive set of rules. This widens the permissions to choose force and also introduce maps and terrain. And this was, you know, okay, main difference from the 500 BPV tournament, which is a random roll for terrain, which, yeah, I disagree on that idea. Just because of, big surprise, it's random, which means that each player does not have an equal chance. You know, there are certain terrains that are good for some forces and bad for others. The base BPV limit will be increased to 650 and fight at 775. That includes like the commander's options for 775. You have one size class 2, so you have one dreadnought is permitted, but it must be accompanied by two size class 4 units. All fleets must have at least one size class 4 as before. All races must all races may take up to 18 fighters, higher than the maximum 24, and troop carriers with escorts are permitted. All races may take up to 6 PFs, casual or one flotilla, limited to a maximum of 10. The goal here is to finalize these rules and get players signed up by the end of September. Now, this was back in May. Now, honestly, when it comes to this one, as I said, I don't like the randomness of the terrain. And honestly, I am not one of those people who is thrilled about PFs and fighters. Now, the funny part is that I got an email earlier this week from Ed Crutchfield. Actually, no, it wasn't from Ed Crutchfield. It was actually from Jeff, replying to Ed Crutchfield, and that he was kind of put off, let's put it that way, about basically the Fed not getting PFs. And he mentioned here in the actual thread back in May, he said, Jeff, will Federation be allowed PFs? You mentioned above all races, and also will a PF be considered as a place of size class 4 rule? My guess is no, especially because he said explicitly that you have to have a size class 4. So it does not replace a size class 4, period. And then, of course, Gary mentioned that, you know, what was it? In the Flexion Universe, as presented by R4J, that module R4J, the Federal Imperium, the SFU militant counterpart of the historical United Federation of Planets, gets to use interception fast patrol ships as soon as the technology is available to them to do so. But in exchange, they were never adopted the third way, i.e., you got rid of like the F-11s and the phaser G armed fighters, nor SWAC shuttles. SWAC shuttles are gone. Since they're enemies of the Gorns and so forth. So, interesting. Now, Fed's telling him no heavy fighters, but PFs instead. Yeah, he likes that idea. Jeff mentioned here, replied here back in June. Like, first off, glad you feel better. Regarding Fed PFs, if we go by the rules as written, the answer is no. because they're conjectural and such units are already excluded because we don't include conjectural ships. The Fed PFs have long been considered controversial. Is it possible for the Feds to be competitive without PFs? I think so. But I'm prepared for a debate. I think a Fed force with PFs would not have F-11s, also no F-14s, F-15s, no GAT phasers for carriers or escorts. And alternatively, actually, there would be no carriers. In my mind, it's like you'd have PF tenders instead. And also probably Fed CVB, a battle carrier group with F-15s is possible within the new BP limit. He really sounds like basically, given that and given the email, Ed really, really would like to have the Fed PFs. I think personally, when it comes to Fed PFs, I think no, because can have it, but you have to greatly, in my mind, greatly modify the ships that are available. As I said, the Phaser Gs should no longer be an option at all for the Federation when it comes to the carriers and the fighters that are available.
Well, here's the thing.
Would be definitely modified.
How many BPV are you talking about?
650. This?
Okay. They're basically attrition units, right?
Yeah.
And they're easily killable.
Right.
And when they go bye-bye, they don't get to come back.
Right.
In the scenario. So I think it's a self-solving problem. But I kind of agree with this whole, if we're not doing the conjectural stuff, then the Feds don't get the PFs.
Right.
And they don't really need them. They make up for it with fighters like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, no kidding.
But the flip side of all that is that in this game, it's so multi-layered. And it's like, you've heard it when I've described Eve being the multi-layered layer cake of onion ringness, layered within onions after onion layer after, cake layer on top of that. And there's always going to be somebody, no matter what you do, that's going to say, no, I want it this other way, or I want thing little extra XYZ that was conjectural or optional or something that you just said what we can't have. So, I could see an argument for them wanting it. I could see an argument for them having it. And I could also see it not being there because the guy running the thing said, no, we're not going to do that. And, because what's the point in that respect? But on the other hand, it's a very small pool of players that you have. And if basically nobody else objects to him having Fed PFs, let him have the Fed PFs. They'll explode just like any of the other PFs. Mm-hmm. They're extremely limited. All the PFs are very limited. They are literally just flying coffins more than the ships are. And I would say, why not? Because what's he going to do? I mean, if he pays the points to have the PFs, he's not going to have a great, huge fighter complement. If he pays to have a huge fighter complement and the PFs, he's going to have what? One ship, two ships, not much. And he's going to have a whole bunch of attrition units where if he's got a whole bunch of fighters, they can get whacked by T-bombs. They can get whacked by anti-drone devices. They can get whacked by dogfight drones and other attritional units going after them. If they blow up their target, they can all die. So, it's a game in that respect. I mean, I know that's something a lot of people don't want to hear, but
life itself.
I could see him having it, but it'll have its own drawbacks for him if he takes them. Because the photons, they're actually limited to range 10, I believe. So, I mean, he can't come in with, like, 60 of these things with, you know, proximity photons and expect to do well, because three or four cruisers could literally make them hang out at range 20 and just tear them to bits with long-range disruptor fire or something. So, the thing is, there's so many pluses and minuses to it in so many different ways. So, there's my two cents on it. You could try playtesting it down at Gamers next weekend. Because that is this many days away, less than two hands. It's 8 days to the Friday night setup. Yeah. 9 days to starting off on Saturday. How early do you want to come down on Saturday?
I will probably be there somewhere around 10.
Okay. I was kind of hoping for it. Well, Doug, I'll be there at 7 o'clock in the morning. No, it's okay.
No, 7 o'clock in the morning. I have to do my grocery shopping.
Yeah, I gotta get myself over there somehow. I'll talk to a few people down here yet. But Barry is
not available.
Well, he's on a severe maybe right now. He'll be there at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But basically he's gonna be doing something for his sweetie, which will preclude him being there on a continuous basis necessarily.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure we'll see him at some point. And then, you know, at what point that is, then he'll probably be there for the rest of the time. But yeah, I was just thinking about that today because of the separation issue right now. I got to figure out what I'm going to do to get over there.
Oh, I know. And
I mean, I could walk there. It is literally not that far away. I could go in Friday night. Mike's committed for Friday night setup.
Oh, okay, cool.
So I could take everything I need over there Friday night. And then basically the only thing I'd carry with me would be a laptop and or a the Boxo badges.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, you know, it's just on the other side of the highway.
Right. Oh, I know.
Anybody who's a fan of Frogger can root for me.
Yeah, that's a little less than a mile away.
He's got the badges. He has to get here. Yeah.
Anyone shows up early, look for, you know, Doug.
Well, the other hand of it is, I am planning on getting some kind of transportation sooner or later. It's just a matter of, it's probably going to be way after Labor Day. And it's probably going to be, I don't know how long down the road, because I still got to get a place yet to get out of this place. And we'll see how it goes. Enough about me.
Yeah.
And my current crap I'm trying to work through.
Understood.
So yeah, speaking of which, hey, by the way, Gamers of Winter is in about 9 days for the actual start part, for Saturday morning start. And feel free to come down. Paul's going to podcast a little bit each day, and and we said I believe Paul mentioned something about maybe doing a couple of different games on the podcast.
Yep. I plan on doing a stream using this account, the SFU On Call account. And I said, depending upon if I have someone to play with, if I have someone to play with, we'll actually stream it live right there. The one thing
you don't even have to be a Patreon member. to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's because I don't have a Patreon account. Actually, I do for my own personal for people I signed up for. But I digress. One thing I definitely need to do is, if not this weekend, definitely this past next week, I need to figure out how I'm going to do it. At the moment, the way I figure it is going to be, I have at least one camera, which is the one right here, and mm-hmm. I can actually have my camera actually pointing at the board, and that'd be the main focus of it, and have probably my big mic here with me so that you actually can hear us talking. Possibly actually have maybe bring a head of headphones, so I can have two different mics going on at mm-hmm. the same time. You know, I have to figure out the exact logistics when it comes to that, but definitely it will be streamed so that people can actually watch it.
Do you think I'd be able to use Discord to come in on the stream like I'm doing right now?
Yeah.
I think we'll be able to continue with that setup.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could theoretically drag both boxes over there. It's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And that way I don't have to set up a new Discord on like the almost non-functional laptop.
True. So, of course.
There's a thought.
And of course I have this laptop with me.
Ooh. Is that the extra one?
That's my extra one, yeah.
Nice. He's so pretty.
Well, it's very new.
Did we have that one set up where, did I log on through it?
Yeah.
I mean, did I log on to both my Eve accounts through it?
No, you have not actually logged in. You did log into one Eve account using my account, and I logged out. But I have the other one, which is under your name instead of being under my name, mm-hmm. meaning the account on the computer. And that's okay. Set up for both Eve and for WoW.
Okay.
I installed both things. One thing I have to do is actually bring that log into that account and update the versions.
Yeah.
Dang, wow, it's large.
Oh yes, it is. Yeah.
Anyhow.
Well, the only thing is, if I used it for that, I'd have to think it. But anyway, go on.
Right. From the looks of the rules, again, it's going to be the same Y180 limit. I need to check on PFs to see when. Now, the one thing, according to the rules, that he excluded, which is interesting, actually, you think about it. Unless things change, which they might be, if we actually get some discussions going about this, which is certain things that have been discounted. Number one, no PF engine degradation. Two, no PF leaders. Three, no PF scouts. Not, and obviously the scout capabilities, no Death Rider PFs. So just okay. Let you know about those. Also, no rail odds. Rail odds? A rail odd? Rail launched anti-drones, which is...
Yeah, ADDs.
Yeah. From fighters, okay. Which... I'm sad. Of course.
Oh, well, they don't become super fighter killers that way.
Yeah. But I'd be interested in playing Andromeda. And then Andromeda doesn't have PF. Doesn't have, you know, it's like, come on. If it, with all the attrition units, I'll get killed, in theory.
Not necessarily.
Oh, yeah. Understood.
You'll be like maxing out your T-bombs, I'm sure.
Come on, people, give me a chance. Please, 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 please. Now, the question is whether it's going to go for this one. Now, the other one, I just want to bring the other one up real quick because this one, the only reason I bring up this one first is because it's had the most interaction. The other one is called The Combat. Now, this has 12 posts. Three of those are just from me and then Jeff. Oh, let me just look at that. Yeah. It's interesting. I want to look at some of this. Okay. Talk about kidney stones. Fine. This one's a little different. The main differences are, number one, it's a tournament map. A base 42 by 30 with barrier. With the tournament barrier. So.
And the random terrain.
No random terrain.
Aw.
I know.
Okay.
He's mentioning debate about use of EW, whether it's full, partial, or none, or like the module T. Now, see, here's the thing. No. This is the one thing that bothers me greatly when it comes to module T tournament rules. You actually do have EW in limited form. But the problem is you have no way to counteract it, i.e. wild weasels. Wild weasels give you a
bonus, yes.
I forget if it's plus one or plus shift. Two shift.
It's a two shift.
Okay, so which means like six.
And you cannot counteract it in normal tournament play.
Right, you cannot counteract it. And that bothers me.
Yeah, but the thing is the trade-off is it's so temporary.
Right.
And if your shuttle dies, it's gone forever, and you can't do it with that one again.
Right, which is what you want to do. You want to kill those things as quickly as possible, so they never can harm another person again, especially you.
It becomes a damage sponge.
Now, the other thing, which is fixed forces. It's that you have to develop basically one size class 3 with a movement cost less than 1 and two size class 4s, different sizes by Empire to roughly balance forces. The goal, and Jeff mentions it, the goal is to finalize each role to get the player signed up by end of September. Again, if you're an interested player, come to please read the rule in the following link. You've got the link there. Let me just look at this real quick. Because I brought up the other one while we were talking about other things. Same thing. Yeah, the commander selected, the horses we select will be pre-selected, but looks like fleets will balance by, okay, the fleets of various empires will be balanced by commander's options or possible refits. The idea is to avoid fighters, except hydrogen fighters, and also avoid PFs. Yay! I'm sorry, I don't like attrition users. I really do not. And so far, shuttles, advanced shuttles, drones. It's going to be looks like just the standard, everyday module T drones. Only certain ships have mines, as listed in the available forces. Mines are not hidden. NSMs can be suggestive, distinguished from T-bombs, and T-bombs are not hidden if dropped from shuttle bays. So, which is fine for me. Same standard stuff. Yeah, commander's options are basically pre-selected, so you don't have any options. This is your force. This is commander's option you get. Go. Obviously, the benefit to this is that smaller combat, you'll definitely be forced to engage really quickly, and you can't run very far, so it's going to be close in combat. The great thing about pre-selected forces is that you don't have these people that are going to try to game the select your their the actual fleet so that they can optimize, as i.e. like the guy I fought against round one, where he had just five destroyers pluses, and he had 20 photons, which he could then have do prox photons, bing, bing, bing. And just,
That was pretty effective, though.
no, it was very, very, very effective and very annoying. Now,
You eventually won that, right?
yeah, oh yeah, I eventually want it, and
Okay.
I think definitely I could have done better if I would have selected a scout, because I think that I could really have messed him up with a scout, because I could, especially, oh man, if I could have gotten the one ship that I desperately wanted. Unfortunately, it is banned because it is a not a real one, which was the Saltorian survey cruiser is what it was. Basically, it never existed. So it's like, womp womp. Just because it has the power, it has the channels. So now, so that, I think that'd be kind of cool. Now, when it comes to EW, I think I would prefer something partial, i.e., no ECM drones, no ECM plasma. If you want to, you can do EM. You can do your own powered ECM and ECCM, but that's it.
Okay.
And obviously, from the looks of it, when it comes to fixed forces, there is no plans for an actual scout. Because the one thing that, as I just mentioned, I really bothers me is that there's no way to counteract short of basically blowing the Wild Weasel away when it comes to tournament EW. And obviously, there's also the other tournament EW is in fact is around, but it's yeah, kind which is, of course, cloaking. You can actually use the shift. You can use basically EW as your mechanism for coming in and out of cloak. And if you actually can use it, EW, then you can counteract that.
The other one.
That's the other one, which I kind of like, kind of don't like. I think the expansive one's gonna be more popular now, because I think that personally, and as I pointed out last week, I really would love to do the expansive, but allow the Andromedans to come in and go, hey, come on, you got all these attrition years. You're gonna, especially with the amount of plasma and the amount of drones, you're gonna kill. You can definitely can possibly kill all the Andromedans pretty well. You can whack them pretty hard, and they shouldn't be able to survive. Shouldn't. I might come up with a fleet just for giggles, just because I'm interested in like what that would be with a 650 point fleet. I have to think about that one. But anyway, I think the expansive actually is going to be more popular, I think, than this one, which is very limited. I think this one, personally, I think this one with a set force, fixed forces, I think would be great for tournament play. Meaning, if you actually want to have set up an actual tournament that people play on a consistent basis, that would be a great idea. Because I think it basically turns it into the tournament ships. In that the tournament ship, you got your ship, and you pick what your ship is. Now, obviously, different empires have, in some cases, have multiple options. Like for the win, you've got the ox battle cruiser, and you have the fish ship. When it comes to Romulans, you have three different options. You've got the Firehawk, you've got the KR one, and you've got the King Eagle. So you got all three generations, three kinds of the Romulan ships are there. So, you know, so you have options when it comes to those. But it's still, it is this or this or this. You can't actually tweak the force at all. Like the only thing you can tweak is basically drone loadouts. And
I just realized something.
What's that?
If you run Romulan ships and you're in against all these attrition units and you don't have any attrition units, it gives you an extra special reason to do plasma shotguns.
Hmm. Very true.
Oh, you got 6 PFs. I've got 8 plasmas. There, I have 8 plasma shotguns. Watch all his stuff die. You run away.
Yeah, that is true. That is one of those things that I don't think anyone. I don't know because I didn't watch any battles. I don't think anyone did. I'm willing to bet dollars to donuts that no one actually used shotguns.
Which is surprising in a fleet action,
mm-hmm.
because look at how much it could maximize your capacity there at point blank range against multiple targets.
Right. Oh, agreed there.
You know, nothing says I love you than like a whole bunch of plasma Fs coming out.
Oh, understood.
Oh.
Now, of course, one of the reasons why you don't want to do that is that because you're paying the same thing as an enveloping plasma when it comes to energy costs. And so with that, you can actually take it and envelop one of your plasma torpedoes and send it to a single target. Now, if you're close enough for those plasma Fs and you launch something a little larger, you definitely have a better chance of actually hitting it for a significant points of damage.
So,
that's my thought.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I think that we will wrap up for this evening. Doug, it's been wonderful.
Oh, can I plug?
By all means, go ahead.
Thank you. Gamers of Summer 2025, Labor Day weekend, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. We'll be at the Red Lion Hotel here in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. 17111 is the zip code. And Paul will be there for Saturday and Sunday. I'll be there all 3 days. If you want to come down and do something in the SF universe or even maybe learn some other games and meet people and talk and stuff, well, there you go. We'll be there. So,
yep.
Thank you, Paul. And and online registration for badges will be closing Monday night. It's not mandatory. You can still get the badge at the same price at the door. It just makes it a little easier for me on like not having to write 800 or 80 or 60 or 50 or 40 or however many names on the morning of and just slow down the registration process.
Right.
So it speeds up registration because whatever names I have in the email saying, hey, somebody bought this badge. Monday night is what I'm going to be writing out Tuesday and Wednesday and so forth, along with the GMs that have already pre-registered. And those badges will be ready to go. And when somebody comes in, here's your badge, boom, done. As opposed to, oh, thank you. What's your name? What do you want your name on your badge? And I have to scribble it down with my scribbly time.
Right. And then you also don't have to worry about things like, oh, bringing cash.
But there is an ATM
there
in
is an
the
ATM.
building, if you forget. However, we do not do point of sale at the desk. You have to have cash at the desk.
In theory,
so if
anyway.
You, in theory, cash at the desk is preferred.
Because we have done for certain people, as in,
right.
There's individuals.
Well, that's if if the right two people are there.
Right. Yeah, that's,
if somebody
there,
is at the desk
I can use my phone to charge the person and do it that way. But that's also, I have to be there, number one.
Yeah, it slows it down.
And two, it slows it down.
Yeah, so. Any rate, it's so much faster that way. Mm-hmm. And the money ends up in the same pool eventually. So there's that. But yes, you can still get a badge Saturday morning, Sunday morning, and can't commit. You can wait till the day of, blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking about sponsorships at some point here, because why not? So, okay. That's all I got.
Okay.
Thank you, Paul.
You're welcome.
See you. If not, we'll talk a bit after this week, if you don't mind.
Just for a short bit. Yeah. Okay. Have a good night.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
So, friends, neighbors, countrymen. Obviously, if you're interested in joining into one of those two tournaments, as I said, the one that interests me most is kind of expansive. And possibly I might work on convincing Jeff to say, hey, can you let the Andromedans in? Because, hey, if you have all these attrition units, I'm not getting my butt kicked. Because that's one of the things that they did, was they brought in the attrition units, and that really makes things difficult. But the Andromedans, and I totally agree that. And in theory, the Andromedans can use the NWPs, I think. I'd have to look at the year of service. For those suckers, I think that might have been actually Y-184, might have been after the cutoff, which is 180. So I'm not sure if I'd want to choose them anyway. I've never actually flown those, so let's wait and see. But anyhow, I think that'd be great. Obviously, a little behind the scenes look at YouTube's numbers. Obviously, for anyone who's actually listened to me knows I don't have the biggest following in the universe, because even though I've been doing this for over 15 years, it's a very small community, and other than the people who used to come right in. Oh, I'd love to do that. Doug actually is on Twitch and just mentioned, a real Andrew would displace an enemy frigate into the middle of the PF fighter swarm and explode it there. I like the idea. And actually, I would love to do such a thing and at least have the opportunity to actually try it. So please let me in. Let the Andromedans play. And so we have lots of fun by all. Oh yeah, that's one of those great things that he was mentioning, which is of course the Andromedans have displacement devices. Can go, hey, I don't like your ship over there. I'm gonna put that over there. Well, even that's random, but let's not start it now. We're shutting down. Take a breath. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.